Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are in this together. And just know through these difficult and challenging times that we're here for you. Know, the other day, I borrowed 3 of my William Gurnall books to somebody on the wretched staff.
Loaned. NPR?
Anonymously. Just let me virtue signal already, would you?
Oh, sorry. Please, virtue and signal away.
Just to let you know what I privately and anonymously did in an act of kindness so that somebody might have strength through these difficult and challenging times, because we are in this together. Sound familiar? This is Wretched Radio. The virtue signaling. I'm reading article after article of different organization that is giving away stuff. That's nice, but the amount of stuff they're giving away versus the amount of money it takes to let us know that they're giving away stuff is substantially more. I've been reading article after article. For instance, somebody's giving away scrubs. I don't know if you saw that commercial. It was a commercial that said, normally we sell scrubs. And it was their tip. That was their pre-produced commercial. And they just did a new voiceover on it. Normally, this is the commercial that we would run to sell you our amazing scrubs, unlike any other scrub. Apparently, scrubs now, what people wear in hospital settings, are a fashion trend. Sort of like wearing pajamas on an airplane. That's also big, too. I don't know if you remember airplanes. They used to fly all over the place. At any rate, they make scrubs, and then the scrubs commercial said, but it seems a little silly to be telling you now to buy scrubs at our website, scrubs.com. Instead, we're giving away 3,000 pair of scrubs because we care. We're in this together. And I thought 3,000 scrubs, let's just say at best, it costs about $4 to produce those scrubs. At best, they're giving away about $12,000 worth of scrubs. And the remake on that commercial alone was probably tens of thousands, if not more, let alone the ad schedule that it cost to let us know how kind that they're anonymously being during this time of confusion. Did I tell you? I don't know if I did, but I once gave an anonymous gift to our church. Yeah, it was a big one. And I told them, don't let anybody know about this because I would not want to be known for giving an anonymous gift. Let the games begin. Don't know if you recall, we did not make a prophetic utterance here at Wretched Radio because that office is closed. But we did suggest that it would not be long until churches started making different decisions about coronavirus. That they start making a decision, we're going to open up despite what the government says. Lo and behold, get ready. It looks like there's an association of churches comprising give or take 3,000 or 4,000 different churches, mostly in California. It seems to be a conglomeration of all kinds of churches, Calvary Chapel, some charismatic churches, even some Southern Baptist churches. It's called Church United. And they're saying, sorry, Gavin, Mr. Newsom, sir, governor, dear, we're going to be open up on Pentecost Sunday, regardless of government orders. Well, won't that be interesting? Are they going to social distance? I don't know. But they are willing to defy the government orders. Well, is it a government order, mandate, suggestion? We really encourage you to not do this. Nevertheless, this could be a biggie right here. Will it be the first domino? Don't know. Will it be the last? Could be. But I do know you can expect more and more churches to be saying, we can't wait any longer. We can't do this based on the opinion of our leaders. So now, of course, this brings into question a Romans 13 conundrum and a weighing of the issue of, do we forsake the assembling of the saints? I think it's pretty accepted. Almost every church in this country, except Rodney Howard Brown, decided we're going to close down because it could be a threat to people. Well, now, based on whichever statistic you read, whatever model you believe in, whatever epidemiologist is your favorite, a lot of people are saying, I don't think so. And they're starting to make different decisions. How will this go? I will just cite this. This is another non-prophetic utterance about the future. This is not to tell you what to do. Believe me, I'm just saying, if a bunch of churches open up in defiance to what the government is desiring from us, this, again, I'm not telling you to not do it. I'm just saying we do need to be aware as we make these decisions. If there is the slightest spike in coronavirus, I can guarantee you there will be somebody who points a finger at the churches and says, it's because of those people that somebody got sick and is dying. There will be a finger point in about 2 nanoseconds.
They're already doing that.
Could be. Everywhere. But it'll be more. It'll be more.
That's true.
I promise you, it will be more, especially 3,000-4,000 churches open up on May 31st for Pentecost. They want to do it for Pentecost. It will be their fault. It's somebody's, because we want to blame somebody for this dealio. Don't know if you caught this story. Speaking of blaming people, Mike Weinstein, he is the fellow who leads up a liberal organ.
Mikey.
Well, don't hurt yourself, Joey. You threw your eyeballs back into your head so violently, I thought they were going to disappear for a moment.
I just need to lube the axles on which my eyeballs roll.
He was complaining. John Piper wrote a book saying that coronavirus is a judgment from God. The book didn't get into specifics about this person for that reason, what have you. But he made it very clear that God has every right to even now make judgment and permit, cause, whichever way you even choose to look at it. Because sometimes the devil, we see in the New Testament, he is the one who causes illness. Other times we see God himself. You know, he did send 10 plagues, and nobody questioned where they came from. Nevertheless, John Piper, stating what has been biblically acceptable for, 2,000 years, Mike Weinstein said, don't like that book, especially because it was given to an Armley chaplain. Uh-oh. So he wants the Army chaplain in trouble, and he's going after John Piper, who is basically defending his work and saying, I got to go with what the Bible says. Sorry, with all due respect, this is what the Bible teaches about illness and disease and suffering and judgment and wrath. And God's opinion on this subject is good news for you. So now you can know where you stand. He has disclosed what he is doing in these things, contrary to what some wrong physicians, theologians might suggest in Time magazine, right? Nevertheless, he is taking a beating for this book because he is speaking something that, according to Mike Weinstein, I believe he's homosexual, isn't he? Mike Weinstein?
I don't believe so. He's just an angry atheist.
Is he just an angry?
Very.
Regardless, the insinuation is, hey, you could be talking about homosexuals here. They don't like that. And so it is John Piper being put in the scope of the atheists for saying what the Bible teaches and has taught forever. If these churches open, and I'm not telling you what to do, I've made it clear, I think it's up to each individual church to make these decisions, because I get it. You're in different states. You've got different rulers. You've got different governors, different political positions on this subject. It's fascinating to me. I don't think this is a perfect rule, but it seems that more liberals want a longer lockdown than most conservatives. That's fascinating. There's got to be something underneath that that has some sort of an implication. And speaking of, a good old-fashioned Christmas miracle. Yeah. You know what this is right here?
Christmas miracle?
Pretty much in the Star Tribune. It's an article. That makes sense.
In the Star Tribune. The Minneapolis Star and Tribune.
The Minneapolis Star Tribune. It's
or the Star and Sickle.
The Star and Sickle. If you live in Minnesota, you know that this is a liberal newspaper. I mean, I think most of them are. This one really
is. They'd be a little left of liberal.
Headline, wisdom more than expertise is needed. This is a subject that I think is worthy of our consideration. How do we think through this issue? How do we weigh and balance what these issues are? How do we make decisions about when it's long enough? Everybody's talking about the goalposts being moved. They are. There's no question about that. But how do we even discuss it? How do we talk about it? How do you reason with somebody? How do you state, look, this is the way to process this so that the goalposts stay right there and we don't keep moving them? And the Star Tribune writing an article, I don't mind telling you, I think some liberals might just think about leaving the state of Minnesota if the Star Tribune keeps this up. We will share this good old-fashioned Christmas miracle with you next on Wretched Radio. No doubt you have heard one of the dire predictions of the effects of coronavirus shutdowns in Eastern Europe and poor nations around the globe. Unfortunately, those predictions, they're a reality.
Even before the coronavirus storm, life was hard for the kids and families that Tomorrow Clubs serve. We work in forsaken communities where unemployment is high, wages are low, and alcoholism is rampant.
And it is even worse now in all of the Eastern European countries. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Clubs, day after day, bringing the gospel to kids in poor Eastern European villages to bring hope and help. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? Perhaps now more than ever. $30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 little kids in Eastern Europe. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Where can you find over 2,600 episodes of Wretched TV, hundreds of hours of Wretched Radio, and see all of Wretched's newest resources? That's right. It's all available at the Wretched website, wretched.org, or as I lovingly refer to it, the home of all things Wretched. There is so much at wretched.org, we couldn't possibly fit it all into a commercial. We tried, but the commercial was 6 pages long. Seriously, there is so much to find at wretched.org. You just need to go and visit for yourself. Actually, bookmark it so you can go there several times. Wretched.org. You'll find full 30-minute TV episodes, 60-minute radio shows, and countless biblical resources, including the Wretched Library, all waiting at wretched.org, thanks to the generosity of our gospel partners. Wretched.org, for all things wretched. Wretched.org, bookmark it and visit often. Wretched, amazing grace.
Good news? Yeah, lots of it. Due to the pandemic, guess who's been shut down for a number of weeks? That's right, Planned Parenthood. You know what that means. Women who are experiencing a crisis, they are fleeing to other centers to get prenatal help and free ultrasounds. That means preborn centers are busier than ever. That means you and I have an opportunity to support them, to be giving free ultrasounds 80% of the time. Mom chooses life because she sees it's her baby in her womb. And we need some help filling up the warehouse at preborn so that they can provide prenatal services and postnatal services. Month of May, $100,000 match. Not kidding. Would you please support preborn.org/wretched at this rather crucial time? preborn.org/wretched.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. SOSministries.com.
titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A good old-fashioned Christmas miracle in the Star Tribune. This is Wretched Radio. Headline. It's kind of a shocker, if you don't mind me saying so. We need wisdom during this season. Wisdom is different than smarts. Wisdom is different than knowing economics. Wisdom is different than knowing science. Even a bad student of mathematics can be wise. You do not need to know a lot of things to be wise. You don't need to know how to build a clock, how to change oil. Wisdom is the thing that the Bible tells us to seek mostly. Now, that does not mean that we do not try to get smart, because our God is smart, and so we study to be like him. But wisdom is the thing that we should be after. Last time I checked, an entire book in the Bible dedicated to the subject of seeking wisdom. Proverbs. We should strive for it. And during this season, where I believe more than ever we are seeing in coronavirus a godless worldview on full display, this is the result of the thinking of the world. Now, right, wrong, or otherwise, the fear of death is driving so much of the conversation. I just saw another interview. I think it was the libertarian guy, Ron Paul. No, Ron's the dad. This is
Rand.
Rand Paul. This is why Rush Limbaugh ain't got nothing to worry about from us. Here on Wretched Political Talk Radio, Rand Paul was talking to Dr. Fauci, who apparently is in quarantine, and he pretty much gave him a scolding for saying, hey, quote, you're not the end all. There are other voices in the room that should be heard. Wow, that was sharp. And what was the response of Dr. Fauci? Hey, be careful, because even children could get this. It hasn't happened yet, but they could get it. You want that on your hands? And so his immediate response to being attacked, frankly, was death, 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 death. That's what this is predominantly about. We don't want anybody to die. Now, who wants anybody to die? Of course not. But the Christian realizes death is inevitable. We don't like it. We war against it. We do fight battles. We do go to doctors. We do get cancer treatments. But we recognize everybody's going to die. And when God has set that time, you're going to go down. Now, if you are terrified of dying from COVID, you can wear a hazmat suit to bed if you'd like. But if God wants you to die from it, you will. And conversely, if you think, I'm not going to worry about, I'm not going to catch it. If God wants you to catch it, you're going to catch it. And if he doesn't want you to, you're not going to. And you can run around town looking for a human being and jump in front of every sneeze. And if God doesn't want you to die of COVID, you're not going to. Now, do you do that? Of course not, because that's foolishness. And we are supposed to be the wise people. So perhaps we can bring some wisdom to the conversation again for the, I think we're at time 812 right now, where this is not a commentary on when we should open or not. This is simply thinking through the issue, specifically thinking through how we think through the issue, courtesy of the Star Tribune.
Those are words I never thought I'd hear.
Daniel
one
Taylor.
The bucket list.
Expertise, by definition, is narrowness of knowledge. You don't know a lot about a lot of things, but you know a lot about one thing. You are an expert. To become truly expert in anything, one must focus on a narrow slice of human knowledge and experience. Wise decision-making, on the other hand, requires what? Breadth of knowledge and experience. Wisdom is understanding what is true and good, and the relative importance of often competing truths and goods and then acting accordingly. That's what's at stake, and that's what's on display these days. You've got varying understandings of wisdom. And the concern that I think many people have is that they're putting all of the weight on one expert and making the issue about one subject, and that is death. And this is one of those situations, again, you almost sound cruel. Hey, come on, there's other things besides death. You just sound mean. There's no way to say that without it turning into a slogan like life over profits. And that's what's happened. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't stop arguing for wisdom, trying to figure out the whole playing field and then making decisions as best we can, the way that we used to. Quote from the Star Tribune, still kind of sticks right there. A wise leader is an embodiment of virtues rather than a master of specialized knowledge. A wise leader is an embodiment of virtues rather than a master of specialized knowledge. That's what somebody in authority does. They are not an expert in every department. If you work in an organization, you know that there are different hallways that take you to different divisions. For instance, you could have production, you could have HR, you've got accounting and finances, you've got perhaps a management hallway, you have got administrative hallways, you've got marketing hallways, perhaps you've got government compliance hallways, you've got ordering, and so getting the goods from here to there. All right, now what is that? What did I just come up with? 7 or 8 different hallways? Now, if any one of those hallways is put in charge and given the reins, that business is in trouble. That is not to suggest for a second that any of those people are dumb. That is not what is being said. But let's just say in this particular plant, whatever it happens to be, the people, brilliant. Okay, I've got a coffee mug here. It's a beastie. It's actually from Grace to You. It's got my hot coffee inside of it. This thing keeps it neutron hot forever. All right, somebody's job to just... Somebody had to design that. So in the business that makes this cup, you've got the designer of the thing that slips it open and closed. I'll bet that person is whip smart compared to me. They know things about mathematics. They know things about manufacturing specifically. How you make plastic injection molds. I don't know nothing about that. That person is really smart. But if you had that guy, Mr. making the decision about how the organization is going to be run, you're probably in big trouble. You don't need somebody who's an expert in a field. You need somebody with general wisdom who understands all of the issues, not in their complexities, but in their generalities, to put all of the ingredients together and lead something forward. And that seems to be the problem right now. We have got one little area, one little realm driving so much of the conversation. Epidemiology. Put it underneath the umbrella of science. But there's so many other considerations. There's economics, there's government, the social structure, the personal level, family, understanding history, economics, all of those things need to be considered too. And as we've stated here before, for now the 818th time, they've got to be carefully weighed, and there can be a difference of opinion on those things. But right now, this is almost like the gay issue. You can't talk about it! Because if you talk about it, you're terrible. Well, we do need to be talking about it, because otherwise, wisdom will not be applied. Back to the Star Tribune. The traditional 7 cardinal virtues are a combination of the classical virtues, courage, prudence, justice, and temperance, and the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. Each is needed in this time of threat. Each of these virtues requires the support of other virtues. Courage without temperance, for instance, is simply foolhardiness. In a time of a pandemic, a decision maker must exercise all the cardinal virtues in concert, not one or two. And that's I think, the Christian approach, hey? Wisdom says we look at all the issues. The Proverbs tell us, you hear somebody's side of the issue, oh, well, that's obvious. That other guy's guilty. And then you hear the other guy and you go, well, wait a second, there's more to the story here. That is the Christian approach. Epidemiologists are professionally required to answer the question of how to stop the virus in absolute terms, as if the only issue to be considered is maximally minimized deaths, with worst-case scenarios taking priority. That is not the best way to approach a subject. A decision that is technically correct but not workable in the real world of human behavior is not a wise decision. We need wisdom in this time. So perhaps, just perhaps, as you go about the business of debating this with friends and family, lift it up. Lift it up to this level to see if you can get agreement on what a wise decision is. And then perhaps, maybe then just perhaps, if nothing else, we might not have agreement, but maybe we won't have so much fighting. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkenis. Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine's mother moved out of a personal care home with the health secretary's help after Levine had ordered all nursing homes and long-term facilities in the state to accept coronavirus patients from hospitals. The state of Pennsylvania is facing a class action lawsuit that was filed April 28th that claims the Department of Health ceased inspecting long-term care facilities now plagued by the coronavirus. Democratic New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has also faced scrutiny over his state's handling of vulnerable nursing homes during the pandemic. Governor Cuomo Sunday reversed a March 25th order that required nursing homes to accept coronavirus patients. Under this new order, nursing homes and other long-term care facilities are allowed to wait for patients to test negative for the virus before admitting them. The governor did acknowledge that nursing homes have become ground zero for the virus. The number of people killed in a militant attack on a maternity ward in the Afghan capital has risen now to 24. Mothers, newborn babies, and nurses among the victims. At least 16 people injured, according to the health ministry. The attack Tuesday in Kabul prompted widespread condemnation. No group has yet claimed responsibility. In a second incident that day, a suicide bomber killed at least 32 people at a funeral in Nangarhar in the eastern part of the country. President Ashraf Ghani has ordered the resumption of offensive operations against the Taliban and other groups, accusing the militants of ignoring repeated calls for a reduction in violence. Islamic State said it was behind the attack on the police commander's funeral in Nangarhar. It is still not clear who carried out the attack at the hospital in Kabul. The Taliban, though, have denied any involvement. The attacks widely condemned by countries around the world. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, quote, any attack on innocence is unforgivable, but to attack infants and women in labor is an act of sheer evil. In Nangarhar, according to survivors, thousands of people had gathered for the funeral and the bomb exploding about halfway through. Casualty figures have been rising since first reports of the bombing. Officials now saying 133 people were injured. Praying for the survivors and their families? Here in the States, a Missouri House committee has passed a controversial pro-life resolution that would recognize unborn babies as human beings in the state constitution. According to the Kansas City Star, Missouri House Joint Resolution 98 would amend the state constitution and grant the right to life to unborn children at every stage of biological development. Legislators amended the resolution Tuesday to remove exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, the report states. Some believe the resolution would ban abortions completely in Missouri, but Republican State Representative Mike Moon, who proposed the measure, is unsure. He previously said the resolution would lay the groundwork for laws or litigation to end abortion in the future, but it likely would not ban abortions right away because of Roe v. Wade. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Perkenis.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Shh! Do not tell Dr. Steve Lawson about this Christian Post article. His head would explode. This is Wretched Radio, Christian Post. Headline, pastors must, quote, speak pagan, end quote, more in coronavirus era of online outreach, says a ministry expert. That's right. We need to start speaking less Christian and more pagan. If Steve Lawson heard about this, I'm telling you, you would just do kind of a...
Is there like a Christian to pagan dictionary or something?
Well, he's going to help you with that and define that for you right here in the Christian Post. If you didn't think that seeker sensitivity was alive and well, it most certainly is. I would suggest to you, as well-intentioned as this article may be, that right now, as in this time, as in every time, the world does not need to hear something that sounds similar. They need to hear something that sounds different and is true. We can't start acting and looking like and behaving like and thinking like and talking like the world to comfort a world that is hurting and lost. I don't think they're buying it, frankly. I think perhaps when times are sweet and a faith can be a tack on, a life enhancement engine that runs my life a little bit more smoothly. But when the rubber hits the road, people aren't looking for trite. They aren't looking for something that's amusing. They need truth. And the seeker-sensitive movement has done its level best to do everything that they possibly can to dull down the sharp edges of Christianity to make it palatable for pagans. Whoop-de-doo, a pagan wears a cross necklace, and little good it does him on the day of judgment. When he hears, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." I think it was Charles Spurgeon. Oh, I know. Lou sent me this quote, a Charles Spurgeon quote. I'll paraphrase it for you. There's going to come a time, this is Spurgeon, when we will no longer have men of God in pulpits, but we will have clowns. If he saw what was going on in the evangelical world right now, he would, his prophecy has been fulfilled, if that could actually happen. We don't need silliness. We don't need same. We need true and something that just hits the ear differently. Honestly, I just keep thinking, okay, so you are somebody. You're tripping through life. You're familiar with Christianity, but didn't really need it. And what if your loved one, what if your spouse does get coronavirus? You can't even go visit them. Can't even go see them. Not allowed in. They're on a ventilator. What do you want at that moment? What do you want? Somebody who's going to come in and go, "Hey, how you doing, man? We got some programs at the church and a barbecue. Wow, wait till you try the barbecue. We're doing barbecue Sunday." I don't think that's what somebody needs or wants. They want somebody earnest. They want somebody dignified. And they want somebody to bring something that is ethereal, something transcendent, not trite. And so it is. This is yet another effort by the seeker-sensitive movement to water down, to think that we can attract people by looking like people. I don't think that's what's attractive, frankly. I don't. Besides, it's so thoroughly pragmatic. Hey, if we look like them, if we talk like them, and act like them, then they'll like us, and then they'll like Jesus. So we can justify being dopey. No, we're different people. And we talk about bigger things and higher things and harder things. Like, what is their death? Why do people get sick? Why is there suffering? They don't want movies. To the article. Yeah, this is from a university that was once a stellar evangelical university to boot. We have to shift from being monolingual, only being able to speak Christianese, to being bilingual, being able to talk Gentile. We do a good job with Christianese. We do a great job speaking to the church. But can we speak pagan? That's the question. I don't even know what that means, quite honestly. But he gives it a go. A good way to be bilingual is for preachers to use movies, TV shows, songs, and personal stories to illustrate a point. Oh, cool. I see. So we're going to talk about Jonah and the big fish, and I'm going to bring in an aquarium, and we'll show a clip from that movie where the sailors are knocked overboard. Okay, it doesn't have a fish in it exactly, but I'll use the fish in the aquarium to show them what a big fish is and what a little tiny boat is. And then I'll show the movie clip. It's the one with Clooney. It was that story of the Gloucester fishermen in Northeast when they hit that storm.
Perfect Storm?
And we'll show a clip from the Perfect Storm. Yeah! Then they'll understand what I'm trying to say about Jonah. Apparently we think that people are just dumb. Don't try to impress your audience with $5 words that they have to ask for you to define. Make sure to speak to everyone, not just the believer. No, we wouldn't want to give people hard words like gigabytes, terabytes, download. That's two syllables. That's a lot of letters in there. Google. That word didn't even exist. People had to learn that hard word. Don't you? Hey, Mr. Googler. No, don't use that word because people don't know that word. We don't put that rule and that limitation on pagan products. Why do we put the brakes on big thinking in Christianity to dumb it down for people? I would argue that when people hear a big word and then you do explain it, I think that is right and proper. And they do say that in this article. You should at least explain it. But better yet, don't use it. Why not explain it and show that Christianity is big and that this stuff has been thought through? How many of these students have we talked to on campus that bring the same old, same old? Hey, how's about all the contradictions in the Bible? Did you know that if I took every book that was written on all of the contradictions to explain them in a rational way and put them in a library, that there would be thousands of books? Did you know that Christianity has been thought through and defended now for 2,000 years on assaults, just like the same one that you're bringing up? Did you know that? Why do we want to try to let people know that we're not smart? This is what people need right now. This is what people always need. This person behind this doing a seminar online, the Zoomy Zoom seminar for people to learn how to speak pagan in church. Because remember, church is for pagans. Oh, wait, church is for Christians. And yeah, some pagan stragglers should come in, but church is for church. And we should be speaking Christianese to Christians because that is who should be in church. From the article, he recommended making a sermon more personally applicable rather than commentary-like. Make it more hip and relevant. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but what I do reject is this commentary-like. It sounds like he's suggesting, don't bring preaching into this. Don't bring preaching into this. Have you listened to Steve Lawson's morning Bible study? Man. He uses big words. And it is entirely commentary-like. And it is like balm to the troubled soul. I was on the telephone with Steve Lawson the other day. And we were talking about a project that we'd like to work on together. By the way, gentlemen, I think Steve is going to be on this here radio program in the middle of June. Batten down the hatches.
What do you have on him?
Is he listening to this program?
No. No, because I don't think he's that technologically savvy. The man writes his sermons with a pen and paper. Okay? We were talking on the phone, And he said, okay, so I see. What you're saying is you just want me to open up the Bible verse. Yeah, Steve, I want you to do what you always do. And he goes, okay, so for instance, he said, well, pick a Bible verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed. The word shalom. This transcends happiness. This even transcends joy. It has those components, but it has a settled nature. Blessed are. That's present tense. This blessedness to the poor in spirit, it exists now. It's not a pie in the sky thought. You can have blessedness and shalom and peace and joy and contentment right now. That is the promise for those who are poor in spirit. And he went word for word, breaking it down. And we're just chatting on the phone. And by the time he was done, I wanted to go, amen, God is good. Because that's what the word does. Pastor, don't fall for it. We don't need a movie clip. Believe me, we got plenty of time to watch Netflix. Preach the word in season, out of season. We don't need silly. We don't need trite. We don't need dumb. We need truth and we need wisdom. This is Wretched Radio. Whilst you and I perhaps cannot do much work, God has not been sidelined by a virus, and he is working, and he is fulfilling his promise to build his church, even in Nepal.
So there are 65 Nepalese fellowships ranging between about 4,000 to 5,000 believers who worship the Lord every day. And we see conversion every day, literally every day. People are added to the church.
The Spirit of God continuing to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, regenerating believers, filling Jesus' churches. And these new believers, they need Bibles. Would you please participate in this great work and provide Bibles to new believers in Nepal and around the globe? It is merely $5 per Bible. How many could you send through Bible League International? You can do that at wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you for being here today. We always appreciate when you spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. Did you know that there is something just like Wretched Radio available? Well, except it's 30 minutes long and it's got pictures. Yep, it's Wretched TV, hosted by Todd Friel, with live witnessing encounters and discussions on the tough theological issues and various other topics that make their way through the Christian community. To see Wretched TV episodes, you can check your local listings or, anytime day or night, visit wretched.org/TV. A big thank you to our gospel partners for making Wretched TV and, well, everything Wretched possible. If you are a gospel partner, thank you very much for your generosity. And if you're not, would you consider becoming one? Help us to continue to make things like Wretched TV available to everyone. Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hold on to your socks. This might just blow them off. The Master's Academy International, brilliant on every level. There are thousands of empty pulpits around the globe. What have they done? Established mini seminaries, training centers in 16 nations to equip indigenous men to fill those pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Master's Academy International has an even higher goal. This is from Samara, Russia.
The objective is not only to place the preachers of local churches on a biblical basis. The goal is not just to give them knowledge. The highest priority is to change the character, to create a minister of a completely different level than it was before, a preacher of a new generation.
Amazing. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International in their endeavor to do just that? Wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. As the Israelites prepared to enter the promised land after wandering 40 years, God reminds them of how he rescued them from Egypt, what he commands in his law, and the blessings and curses that come with keeping or breaking his law. God is faithful to provide the inheritance he has promised to his children. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
You be the judge.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Prepare to play one of America's fastest growing game sensations. Which news is the best news? That's right.
Really?
Tony, I think that's what we're calling it. I have a slew of stories, and they're all good. We thought we'd try something different
around
here on
different.
Wretched Radio. Yeah. So I'm going to go through the stories, we'll number them, and then you will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this here Wretched Radio program, and you will determine which of the good news is the good newsiest.
Yes, I will.
I think that's the title. This will be sort of like a special edition of Price is Right, and then we'll give you $100,000 if you win, and then you can give it to Planned Parenthood, which is... What just happened on The Price is Right? Did you catch that story?
Yeah.
This isn't in our list of good news stories. RuPaul was co-hosting, I think. I missed that special Price is Right with Drew Carey. And RuPaul apparently had selected Planned Parenthood for the charitable center to receive his winnings. $100,000 went out to Planned Parenthood. But we have good news here. No bad news here at Wretched. None of it whatsoever. For instance, we're not going to talk about how in China there's more and more persecution, more and more churches are being closed down, more and more Christians going without. Not going to talk about that. Now, see, for instance, though, we could talk about that and say you could help out those Christians by sending Bibles to them through Bible League International because they need them really bad. Joey, what was the name of that country where they're just seeing converts? Nepal. Okay, not a bastion of Christendom. People are getting saved constantly there. God is building his church. They do need Bibles, so if you can send a Bible, $1, $10, $50, whatever, they're $5 a piece through Bible League International, that would be muy grande. And I'm not talking about a Starbucks beverage. That would be wunderbar. And I'm not talking about something made in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It would be most excellent if you could send Bibles, perhaps monthly, through Bible League International, wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible. Tony, quit interrupting. We're going to get to the good news stories here. Here we go.
You know
story number one, babies in 15 states could be saved from abortions if Supreme Court upholds Louisiana pro-life law. Have you covered this story in the news yet?
Yep.
Okay, because it's kind of a tricky little deal. The legislation in Louisiana is that an abortion clinic has got to be able to provide. It's just staggering when you think about it. They've got to be able to provide health services nearby if things go kafritz. And the pro-abort's so desperate. No! We don't care if it's a crummy abortion clinic. We want abortions! Unbelievable. Let women die. We want our abortions! And so this piece of legislation, if it is upheld by Louisiana, it could have ripple effects in about 15 states, which have similar laws on the books. They've not been being practiced, but if the Supreme Court upholds the Louisiana law and clinics, shoddy ones, they all are, nevertheless, they have to be connected to a hospital. They need to be able to receive additional care if things go wrong inside of the clinic. You think that would... Look, I don't want any abortions. But you would think that even the pro-aborts would be going, yeah, well, that would be good that the women are safe. No, not about that. So that's good news story. That is going to be heard. That's going to be rendered in this summer. I think that the case was argued in March. That's story number one. That could be a big pro-life win. Story number two. Salute to 100 pastors. They signed a letter to an Ohio Board of Education opposing yoga and meditation being taught in the schools. Guess what? They got it shut down. No more yoga and meditation being taught, at least in that district. Well done to those pastors. It was reported by Christian News Network. This is going on all over the country. And I would encourage you, if you have got this going on in your schools, it's anything that has to do with breathing, frankly, meditation, mindfulness. They've got all kinds of names. Now, there's all kinds of knockoffs now. It's all Hinduism. Use this story. Find their letter. They've got it on the website. You can find it on the website. And they've got the research. This is what it is. It's Hinduism. It's being repackaged. And we don't want religion being taught to our kids in our schools that we pay for. And guess what? That actually worked. I would encourage you to do likewise. I think you might be surprised. It's probably going on in your school. Good news story number three. This is from... This is from Christian Post. Was that Christian Post too? Christian Post. Well, here's another salute. Do you remember the name Frank Wright? W-R-I-G-H-T?
Architect?
That'd be Frank Lloyd.
Right. Christian show, Joey. Christian context is what we're talking about. Evangelicalism.
You could be talking about modernism, and it's.
I didn't realize he's now at D. James Kennedy's Ministries. What I remember is that he was the president, the CEO, the grand poobah at National Religious Broadcasters. Well, he just wrote an article. Wow, biblical infidelity in top evangelical institutions warns this leader, and he is saying, "Hey, we've got to start dealing with this. We have got to start paying more attention." To institutions, pastors, false teachers, people who are getting wobbly, and we need to call them to correction. Wow. So this fellow, who's now at D. James Kennedy's Ministries, and I have to confess, I didn't know that those Coral Ridge was still going. I did not know that, because I know after the whole Tullian business, I don't know what happened to it, and I don't know that I've heard D. James Kennedy on the radio. That was a stalwart man, wasn't it? D. James Kennedy. By the way, D. James Kennedy, one of my favorite stories about him, when he was walking his campus where his ministry was, and the buildings, and the outreach, etc., the radio, the TV, the church, all of it. And he said, all of this will be gone within a generation of my passing. The only work that I do that will last is bell ringing. Because D. James Kennedy continued to go door-to-door and ring on bells. Did you know that? Ah, magnificent. That a guy who's a high-profile evangelical still goes out and goes ding-dong. And so does Alistair Begg, by the way. Last time I heard, he leaves his church, his study, and he goes out every day for lunch so he can find somebody who needs to hear the gospel. How cool is that? This fellow is now the president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, formerly of NRB. I was just super encouraged by this. There's been a dramatic departure from biblical truth by supposedly evangelical leaders and institutions, and we are now seeing a wide-scale rejection of God's word as the authority for faith and practice. Wow. And now, get ready, brace yourself, he lists names. Whoa. Starting out with, this is probably the biggest Christian institution that there is. I'm just going to go out on a ledge here. This is the biggest Christian institution that needs to be called back to biblical fidelity in its roots. Chick-fil-A, which actually isn't Christian. So I wouldn't include that one on the list because they're a chicken restaurant. Nevertheless, he calls on the National Association of Evangelicals. Yikes. He says, once orthodox, now left-leaning National Association of Evangelicals, who recently endorsed radical leftist legislation that would overturn religious free speech and free exercise by establishing sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories under federal non-discrimination law. Wow. Sir. Wow. Wow. Hold on. I'm just reading the list. Your issue is with the architect, Southern Baptist Convention. He's very concerned that the social justice thing is infiltrating more and more into the Southern Baptist Convention, and he's calling them to repentance. Hold on, Joey. Presbyterian Church in America.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, in America. Presbyterian Church in America, Joey. The generally conservative PCA denomination seems not far behind. This is the social justice business. He's not saying they're heretics. He's just saying it's because of the Revoice movement that was. I don't think everybody in the PCA bought that. In fact, I would say it's probably a minority. I think that Joey, would you see the PCA is getting wobbly? You're in it. Do you think it's doing? You're not in it.
I've never been in it, and I've made that clear.
Don't get all disgusted.
Oh, come on now.
Christianity Today. He's calling to repentance. Pastor Andy Stanley. Wow. The man actually had the courage to name names and say, hey, we've got to get back to biblical fidelity. That's good news story number three. All right.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
That would be story number three. Story number two, yoga gone in Ohio school district. And story number one, babies could be saved if the Supreme Court does what's right. And a ruling about keeping babies and mommies safe. Not my favorite angle on it, but nevertheless. Joey, Tony, who are you? Which one is it? Quick.
Number one.
That's it.
Babies. Yep.
No equivocation. Babies.
No equivocation.
So you don't care about biblical fidelity. Well, there you have
Not
it.
Not at all. No, that's what I just said.
Till
yes.
tomorrow.
Wow.
Go serve your king.